Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Chris Diglio.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Chris Diglio. And today we're going to talk about one of the most important aspects of a business transaction. Now, your business brokers listening out there, we're not talking about your commission. And the business owners, yes, the price of the business is important, but I'm not even talking about that. Money is certainly always important, but there's one thing in the transaction that will make a business owner lose sleep and a business broker have anxiety, and that's confidentiality, or sometimes the lack thereof. Today, we're going to talk about and we're going to focus on how to maintain confidentiality during a transaction. And it's extremely important. So important today that I have two guests on the show, not just one. They're both with the same company. I have Sean Brelsford and I have Michael Mensch, both with the agency brokerage consultants. They've been involved in over 120 independent insurance agency sales. And Sean has sold more than 30 businesses, totaling over $25 million within the insurance industry. He's been awarded the IBBA Outstanding Producer Award for 2016, the IBBA Dealmaker for 2017, and the IBBA Chairman Circle Award two consecutive years for 2017 and 2018. Now, Mike is a partner in the company, and I've known him a long time, and I'm happy that he was able to join us, and he's been involved in all these transactions also. In fact, since 2010, the firm has specialized in brokering privately owned independent insurance agencies ranging in value from $250,000 to $20 million. So I'd like this opportunity to thank you guys for joining us today. Sean, welcome to the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Big fan of the show. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, so we're going to jump right into this because we try to keep the podcast to around 30 minutes so we don't lose the audience, and I want to get as much information out there as possible. So you guys, Sean, I'm going to start with you. You guys specialize in the sale of insurance companies, so confidentiality has to be of the utmost importance since you're dealing with a lot of personal information. We all know the importance of confidentiality, so we're not going to harp too much on that because I think we're all aware of that, but business owners are fearful of employees, customers, vendors finding out their business might be for sale. So in your opinion, what are the top things for a business broker that they could do to ensure the highest level of confidentiality or maintaining confidentiality during the transaction?
The top three things I would recommend, you want to qualify all the potential purchasers you possibly can. That includes, do they have the funds, the license, the permits, the experience, as well as if there's any vendor contracts they need to qualify for. And are they physically capable of running the business? Do they have the time and capacity to do so? That's the number one. Number two, I would recommend just disclosing enough information to get a deal on the table. You don't want to disclose too much information too early. The third thing I would recommend maintaining the confidentiality timeline. There is a proper time and place for all parties to know, and we'll go through that more in detail throughout this call, but you want to make sure the proper people get the information at the right time.
You know, guys, what always makes me laugh is that when I talk to a business owner for the first time, a lot of times they never even knew that there was such thing as a business broker. But then all of a sudden, you're engaged or you're talking about going to market with their company, and they're terrified of you showing up at their offices because you're all of a sudden now going to walk in and people are going to know that the business broker is there. That's how much confidentiality means to them, and it scares them. So, Michael, I'd like to ask you, because Sean alluded to there having to be a timeline, but so a process. Process is important with everything that we do in our business. So talk to us about the importance of a process, when to release information or make introductions where it pertains to financials, key employees, vendors, customers, the landlord. I'm sure you don't want to just let everybody know the second that the business is on the market.
Correct. The biggest part of the process is educating, particularly the buyer, of what's expected of them and how you we're going to manage the sale transaction if you're an intermediary. So we, right out of the gate, explain to them confidentiality, and we reinforce it multiple times. So part of the qualification is we're going to get a non-disclosure agreement from them. We're going to get financials information from the buyer. We're going to try to understand what their experience level is. But before we release anything, we're going to reinforce the need for confidentiality and make sure they understand that. And throughout the process, if there's any infringement of that, we're going to come down on them pretty hard and make them know that they stepped out of line, because it's very important to the client. You know, a lot of damage can happen if confidentiality is breached. You know, educate the client, educate the buyers, educate the client also, and just keep reinforcing the need for confidentiality so they understand that what's expected and how the sale process is supposed to move forward.
No matter how much we try, sometimes word just gets out. So, Sean, is there ever an opportunity prior to taking the business to market where you have a conversation with your seller addressing that particular item where, hey, it may come up and someone may say something to you, and these are things that you could do to maybe deflect or things you may look out for, ways you may be able to answer that. Do you ever talk to your client, as Michael said, educating the client, but talk to them about confidentiality and what to do just in case something does leak or something does slip?
Absolutely. We prepare our sellers with some ammo in the event that their requests begin to tip off maybe the vendors or other parties that could be involved. The vendors, they may have a suspicion regarding a sale. If that is the case, we arm them with a few things to say, such as, you know, they're just trying to get their books in order, or this is a request from their CPA. I've even had one client say, you know, I'm actually in the middle of an audit right now, and this is why I need this information. So those are some things you can do to deflect some of those questions.
I had a client, I tell this story, so I'll be very brief. The first listing I ever had was a big boat manufacturer, and he came in and he was so made it such an issue that confidentiality better not be breached, and if there would be, I would be in a lot of trouble. So get the listing, market it, have two buyers in place. I get a phone call, and I was talked to like I don't think I've ever been talked to, and not that I haven't heard those words before. I've heard them plenty of times, but the way they were directed at me with such anger about how dare confidentiality be broken, I said, well, it's not going to be too hard to figure out how. Let me look into it. Well, I talked to one of the brokers that I was co-broking the deal on, and he said, let me look into it. Well, he gets back to me, and then I call the seller, and I said, look, I just found out some information. He's like, what? I go, well, I found out who leaked the confidentiality. He's like, who? Because I can't wait to talk to that person. I go, well, you can have a conversation with yourself. It was you. I said, the buyer that we dealt with let us know that before you listed the business with me, that you went to every other boat manufacturer and dealer in town, letting them know you were going to be listing it with a broker, that this was their chance to get it for a little less money so they could save the commission. And I thought he might actually apologize to me, but all he said was, oh yeah, that could be. Okay. Not even, I'm sorry.
Yeah, usually when a client brings that up about their fears about confidentiality breaches, I mean, most of the time it is the seller that is the one that puts the cat out of the bag, they either tell an employee or tell somebody else. So we try to enforce to them that, you know, you want to keep it quiet as long as you can throughout the transaction. Sometimes they have a key employee that they have to bring in on what's going on so they can get information from the employee. But in our experience, too, it's usually the client is the one that ends up breaching confidentiality by telling someone.
I want to go back a little bit to the process. We talked about that earlier on and how important a process is. But, you know, immediately when you get a deal under contract, the buyer wants to do everything, and they want to do it all at one time. They want to talk to employees. They want to talk to customers. They want to talk to the landlord to make sure that they can get approved. If it's a franchise, they want to talk to the franchisor to make sure they can get approved by the franchisor. And I often tell them, I said, look, if you can't get past the financial aspect or the financial due diligence, there's no need to ever talk to the landlord. So can you guys share with us your belief on the importance of the timeline or when things should be done or how, and how important that is in the process of maintaining confidentiality?
Yeah, Chris, you're absolutely right. We always recommend them conducting some type of financial due diligence, some type of revenue verification at the very least. That way, as long as the numbers are there and that checks out, then we can start to move forward. First thing, after the financial due diligence is completed, we normally have them sign off on a form just saying, hey, look, we looked at the numbers. Everything does look good. After that, then we generally move to inform key vendors. We might have to get a landlord on board. In some instances, like Mike hinted to earlier, some key employees may need to be on board with the sale as well. However, I would recommend waiting till the absolute late last minute to inform them about a possible sale, if you can. And that goes as well with the client base.
Some of the large buyers we work with too, they come in and they, one of the first things they say to the seller is, we want to come in and meet the employees. You know, we like to get that out of the way early. And we just look at our client and shake our head like, that's not going to happen. When we put a business on the market, we create a confidential information memorandum that addresses a lot of the information. We look at due diligence as, okay, your first step is go through, verify the information we provided. You know, we'll give you the financials. We'll give you all that data. But we're going to have you pretty much say you're done with that before you move to the next step of either contacting a vendor or meeting the employees. I mean, we pretty much want to make sure the deal is done and approved and the money's lined up before we let them meet the employees. It's got to be like the last step of the entire process.
We have business owners listening to the show right now, and this is important for them to hear that there needs to be a process. But we also have business brokers, and some of them are seasoned, and they understand how to maintain confidentiality, or they're going to have a refresher course today. But some of the people listening are new brokers, people that are – and we've all been there. We get our first listing, our first couple of listings. We're excited. We get it under contract. We can't wait what to do with it. So we get a buyer, and the buyer comes in, and the buyer starts demanding, I want this. I want that. And you want a sale so bad, you're just like, yes, have it all. And that's when problems usually start happening, is it not?
Yeah, you've got to maintain control of the process. I mean, we're the expert. Like, we work with strategic buyers that do a lot of deals, but we represent the client. We're the expert, so you've got to stay in control. Again, if you're a new broker, the biggest part where you can protect confidentiality is just screening the buyers really well up front, and that's really a challenge if it's a business owner trying to sell the business on their own. Is they can't do this kind of screening that we do. Like, the buyer's not going to give the owner their personal financials. They're not going to be able to, you know, understand whether or not the buyer's really a tire kicker the way that we do, because we deal with buyers on a regular basis. So if you're new, it's really important that on the front end, you have to screen heavily. You may be excited to get somebody interested in the business, but you really got to make sure you're not wasting your time and opening your client up for confidentiality concern if the buyer's not really a valid prospective buyer. So again, we get NDA, get financial information, look at their experience and everything. Are they a valid person that could take over that business? That's the first step, because there are a lot of tire kickers out there. So if you're new, that's what I really have to share with you, is that it's important to just do a heavy screening up front.
Going off what Mike was saying is, you know, always have a conversation with the party who's interested in purchasing the business. And during that initial conversation, a high-level conversation, you know, I would ask them open-ended questions. I would ask them, hey, what are you looking for? And I'll let you know if this business is going to be a good fit for you or not. By having that high-level conversation before you even get the ball rolling in their direction, you could eliminate them from being a contender, or they could end up being a very good purchaser.
I like the direction this is heading. So far what I'm gathering from our conversation is, you know, how to maintain confidentiality during the process. There has to be a process. There has to be education. And Mike and Sean both alluded to something just a minute ago. They talked about NDAs being signed. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, because this drives me crazy. I watch brokers all the time. They get a buyer that contacts them from BizBuySell or from somewhere, and they don't even have a conversation with them. They get an email. They email an NDA. That NDA gets signed, and all of a sudden they start sending all this financial information. Guys, talk to me about that. Is that a sound way of doing business and maintaining confidentiality? Michael, you want to talk about that? Then Sean?
You know, in our case, we would call them at least to verify the information, because we're in our office, we fill out the NDA for them, but that's also a chance to talk to them, like Sean said, and ask them what is it they're really looking for. You want to make sure that they're a real person. And most of the time, we'll go ahead and Google the person's name and try to find information about them online. Then we've found things about buyers that, you know, were involved in lawsuits and crazy things like that, that we decided, okay, we don't even want to deal with this person. So you've got to do a little bit of your own legwork up front to make sure you know who you're dealing with on the other side of the table.
Sean, you have anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Mike did a really good job. Yeah, I mean, he did a really good job.
Well, you guys work in the same office. You share the same process. So, of course, you know, you're going to be on the same page when it comes to that. So I'll give you something you can answer. So, and then maybe Mike will jump in too. But one of the biggest areas of concern when it comes to confidentiality is the information. Once someone's NDA'd, it's under contract, letter of intent, somehow some kind of an agreement, and we start sharing information. And there are different ways of sharing information, and sometimes people just start emailing tax returns and emailing very confidential information that you would never want to get out there. But there are other ways. They can be sent as links. There are deal rooms. Why don't you guys talk about what you use and how that protects confidentiality and how you feel that that might be the best layers of protection when it comes to sharing the financial information?
I would heavily advise not to just share information directly through email. We all know email can get compromised pretty easily, so I would avoid that if possible. Our firm uses ShareFile. There are many out there, but that's just the one we use particularly. We like ShareFile because it's a great way of keeping a log of who gets in there and views and downloads the information. We can add as many users as we want to a certain folder. We generally will add, you know, the individual purchasing the business, their CPA, a banker if necessary, as well as any lawyers. They can all have access to that requested information. ShareFile will directly communicate with them and send them a link or some type of an email with instructions on how to get in there, download the information. One of the cool things I like about ShareFile, it's developed by Citrix Systems, it's never been hacked or compromised, and that aids in maintaining confidentiality.
Even this morning, I meant to send myself an email just to remind myself, and I ended up sending it to Maggie, our office administrator. So people do that all the time because you got autofill in your email. So that's a real risk if you're sending sensitive information. You can accidentally send it to the wrong person, and then you can't get it back.
You know, one of the biggest misconceptions out there is the confidentiality is only important the larger the business. And it couldn't be so much further from the truth, because a small business has just as much, if not more, to lose than the large business when confidentiality is breached, because that's everything to them. So regardless of the size of the business, confidentiality is important. And so you have some states here, if you're within the United States, that are co-brokering, or they have associations where brokers share their listings with other brokers and they share their commissions. And they may even have an MLS where, with inputting some information and the click of a button, you could go behind the scenes and you could see the information of the company that is for sale. And let's just say you're an HVAC company and you see that you have a buddy that's a broker and says, hey, can you show me who's for sale? I mean, with a click of a button, they could potentially go behind the scenes and see everything that's for sale. Now, we'd like to believe that that doesn't happen, but it could. So in a case where you're putting listings on an MLS shared by other brokers, how can you ensure your client, and how can you ensure confidentiality in cases like that? Because that's very difficult.
I know with the BBF, they allowed for a while that you didn't have to share the name. I mean, I'm strongly against putting the client's name or address into an MLS system. We have too many people accessing it, and if you're in control of managing confidentiality for your client, you can't do that if you've got an MLS system that has, you know, 500, 800 people accessing it.
Yeah, and I'm right there on board with Mike. I would shy away if you possibly can. Here in Florida, we can use a form, Form 31. That allows so the business, you don't have to list the business's name in the MLS. I've also seen in the comments or in the description from the listing broker that anyone co-brokering this deal needs to have a conversation with them first before they divulge or, you know, share any information about the business. So that could add an extra layer of protection. However, that would be quite difficult to enforce.
When I was a member of the BBF, and I think it's a great organization, the Business Brokers of Florida, and it's a great organization, and it helps us with comparables and helps us with a lot of things, and it helps us co-broke, and it helps us get more deals done. I'm a firm believer in the BBF, and my only issue I ever had with that was I was one of the people that was at fault at putting the stuff on the MLS where I did not put a lot of the client information. Now, I never swayed a client one way or another. I would explain to them their options. And if they didn't care and were okay with the name being shown in the background, because it is in the background, it's not open to the public, then I was fine with that. But if they did have an issue with it and they just didn't want anyone know who the business was unless I was telling them the name of the company, I would have them sign the form. So, you know, my argument wasn't an argument over control. It was an argument over I want to maintain confidentiality. But again, I left that up to the client. There were some people that just didn't care, but there were a lot that did. And so kudos to the BBF. They allowed us to sign a form and keep the information private, because there are a lot of times where it just needs to be private. So I'm on board with you guys. I want to maintain control and confidentiality at all times when I possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the IBBA is filled with great brokers. I have a lot of great training, high caliber individuals. So we do hold ourselves to a higher standard. We don't know that everyone who has access to the BBF MLS, we don't know their level of professionalism or their level of training. I would just be careful.
Yeah, and again, BBF is an affiliate of the IBBA, and they do a great job, and they do a very good job of maintaining confidentiality and giving us all the tools to do that. So I'm not here saying that, hey, you shouldn't or you can't. I'm just saying on a case-by-case basis that I think you should look at whether the information needs to be kept confidential or not. If it were my business, I would not want the name out there for 1,000 people to be able to see at a click of a button, but I certainly would want the information on an MLS so that the other brokers, maybe working with a buyer, enhance or increase my chances of selling the business. So there are pros and cons to both, but we have to, you know, just really be careful. So we're coming close to the end because the time just flies when we start talking about this. But I want to touch from both of you. I want to hear a piece of advice that you might have to business brokers out there regarding how to maintain confidentiality during a transaction. What would you say to them?
I would break it down again into a couple steps. So one is educating the parties involved and reinforcing that multiple times. And I would even say put that in writing, what you're relaying to the buyer in particular. Screening the candidates that you're going to be disclosing heavily. Those are steps one and two. And other than that, I mean, when you get into the transaction side of it, you have to have a staged release of information. You know, so you start with financial and operational data, and then you can get into the more sensitive information as you work your way through and they get completed with the financial due diligence. You know, you kind of have to do it in steps and get to the more sensitive information later on, or to the process of meeting the employees later on in the transaction.
And Sean, if we're talking to a prospective client or a business owner and they look you in the eye across the table before giving you their listing or engaging your services, and they look at you and they say, Sean, how is it that you're going to maintain or protect the confidentiality and make sure that this doesn't get out there and everyone knows that I'm for sale and my employees don't go looking for another job? But how are you going to do the best to ensure that doesn't happen? What do you say to that business owner?
I relate to them that not only do we have a really strenuous screening process, so we qualify any candidates heavily. We make sure that they have enough funds to get the deal completed. That means I want to see some type of personal financial statement or some type of account with liquid capital in there, so at least with a down payment. Other than that, I let them know that time is of the essence. The quicker we can get through a sale, the less likelihood a breach of confidentiality can occur. The buyer wants to close earlier. That's good. Sometimes we have a buyer who does want to close earlier. The seller may not be ready at that time. We always try to get that seller on board to close as soon as possible. The longer this deal lingers out there, you know, that's just extra time that a breach can occur.
And as a plug for, you know, our services as intermediaries, again, I think it's very difficult for a business owner to try and sell their business on their own and maintain confidentiality, because the likelihood of a buyer giving a business owner their own financial information is pretty low. They kind of look at the intermediary as professional that's going to handle their own financial information with sensitivity. And so I think that can't be understated, the importance of having a professional in the middle helping to manage confidentiality by doing the things like screening the buyers and educating the buyers and everything. So it's very difficult for a seller to do it on their own and do a for sale by owner. That's my opinion.
Not just that. I mean, every business that we talk to, they have a process from how they get their client to once they get their client, what they do. It could be a restaurant. How do you make a pizza? There's steps to doing it. It could be a car. How do you make some? Everybody has a process to doing it and to get the job done in the most efficient, professional manner and the best way possible. It's no different with business brokerage. There is a process, and confidentiality is probably the most important thing to a business owner other than how much they're going to get for their business, because they're afraid. The business is the thing that pays for their lifestyle, their family, their vacations, their retirement. Everything is dependent upon their business, and they don't want it to be harmed by confidentiality. And if you as a business broker don't take the steps that Sean and Mike talked about today as far as having a process, making sure that you're educating the client, making sure that you're pre-screening, pre-qualifying, and working with the buyers, making sure you're releasing everything in a timely manner at the appropriate time, not too soon, not too late. If you do that, you're gonna be in good shape. If you don't, you're not only going to ruin a relationship potentially with a client because they're gonna get upset, you can ruin your name and your reputation because business owners talk to other business owners and they're gonna say, you don't want to list with Crest because he's gonna breach confidentiality and he caused me to lose my biggest customer or my best employee. So you don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you take the time and you do the job right and you protect what is the most important part of the transaction, and that's the confidentiality with the client so you can get to the end. Because if you breach confidentiality, you're probably not going to have the payday anyway. There's not going to be a commission, there's not going to be a sale, and you're going to lose, again, so much more than money, future money, reputation, earnings. So gentlemen, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today, and not just joining us, but sharing of your time and sharing of the information. I mean, I have to tell you that confidentiality has always been important to me, and I'm going to incorporate some of the things you shared today into my personal business because I learned a few things or I refreshed my memory on some things that I really should be placing more emphasis on. So thank you so much for sharing so freely with all of us. And if you don't mind, I'd like you to share with the audience how they can get in touch with you and your company regarding your services. If a listener might just have a question about the sale of the business and confidentiality, please tell us how they can get in touch with you guys.
Our domain is pretty easy. It's agencybrokerage.com, and our phone number is 321-255-1309.
Just want to thank you, Crest, for having us on. And if anyone wants to get some more information or dive deeper into it, I did develop a paper and we put it on the IBBA Best Practices website that deals and speaks specifically about confidentiality. We didn't really get into the actual agreements themselves, but you do want to make sure it does have all the aspects an NDA should have. And all of that would be in that paper. You guys can read it at your leisure.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate your time today. And Sean, thank you for doing that for the IBBA and giving back, because it means a lot. It really means a lot. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You know, as always, guys, it's my pleasure to bring you another episode. I'd like to thank you, our audience, which is growing all the time, which means more people have an opportunity to hear from guests like Sean and Michael and learn things or put things into their practice or help them with the sale of their own personal business. So if you found this episode to be valuable to you, or you want more information, or you'd like to hear additional episodes, please visit us at ibba.org. Please share this with others on your social media platform and help us to continue to spread the word. Thanks again for listening to today's episode on confidentiality and how to maintain it in the course of a transaction. Again, I'm your host, Crest Diglio, and I look forward to talking with you again on the next episode.